Children who lose parents in the conflict in the Middle East face the ordeal of bearing their losses. Israeli and Palestinian children alike experience devastation. The way they heal, though, can be very different. NPR's Julie McCarthy looks at how children on both sides are coping, beginning with a young Palestinian family whose father was killed in Hebron during the Israeli offensive in the West Bank this spring.
The surviving children of 36-year-old Hamza Abu Ramuz entertain themselves with computer games about car chases that children their age in America play. They are at once resilient and achingly fragile. Less than an hour earlier, these same little boys were inconsolable. Nine-year-old Samir Abu Ramuz was recollecting his father, Hamza, who was killed by Israeli soldiers in April near Hebron's Central Market. His baby sister wanders into the room where her uncles, cousins, and chain-smoking grandmother dispense affection. Samir takes no notice. Tiny t-shirt-clad shoulders heave under the weight of his words. I remember my dad teaching me how to swim and floating on the Dead Sea with me, he says. Samir's sadness infects the room, but even with his mother beside him, there is no caressing, just quiet sitting and sobbing. Samir hides his face in the crook of his arm. The Israelis say they shot Hamza Abu Ramuz after he fired at them, a version of events that his family disputes. The indisputable fact that the Israelis killed Hamza has left his young son vengeful. I want to become a big man, Samir sputters. Buy a gun and fight in the struggle. Grief is producing militancy across the West Bank. At a day camp in a village near Hebron, girls stage plays that glorify martyrs. The shouts of our children will shake the world, they sing. Psychologist Rana Nashashibi of the Palestinian Counseling Center says a desire to take up arms is a common refrain among bereaved children in the occupied territories. But she says intervention can change young would-be militants who start off talking about war.
All we want to do when we grow up is to die for our country. And we began to talk, and then the children began to say, but we want to study, and we really love our school, and we think it's very important for us to go to the university. So even in a period of 2 hours, there was this shift happening to the children because somebody was helping them process their anger.
Nashashibi says unprocessed anger is creating potential time bombs.
The trauma is basically the inability of a person to control your life. That's basically the trauma. It's more difficult for a child because it will stay there. It will be part of their personality.
And she says children under occupation are losing the ability to even distinguish between traumas.
Is it the loss of a dear one, or is it the fear for your life?
Harsh closures and curfews are limiting Palestinian children's access to social workers and psychologists. The children of Hamza Abu Ramuz are fending for themselves in the upheaval following their father's death. Their mother says discussing it is of no use. She gently tells them life goes on. Tears dried, 9-year-old Samir produces a prized possession, a photo of his father. A shy smile creeps across the face of this eldest surviving son, a momentary reprieve from his pain. The anguish of Israel's children is no less intense. Suicide bombings and attacks have left families struggling to cope. Their safety net is elaborate compared to Palestinian children. Here, some 50 girls from across the country descend on a new camp in Kibbutz Negba in southern Israel that caters to their shared trauma. Each has lost a family member to the conflict of the past 22 months. Girls screech beneath a tightrope strung between two trees. 13-year-old Raut Cohen is harnessed into a safety belt, streaming with ropes that her campmates use to hold her upright. The balancing act in her platform shoes seems an apt image for the pretty teenager. Camp officials say Raut is a candidate for the psychological imbalance that can accompany the death of a parent. Raut lost her father in a suicide attack in Jerusalem March 21st, while he was shopping for Passover. The otherwise outgoing young teen closes down discussing her dad. Camp officials thought it was because of her mother's inclination not to discuss it, but Raut corrects that through an interpreter.
It's not that. It's more that I don't want to talk about it. It's not that she doesn't. I don't like sharing this with anybody.
Her younger sister, Tzivia, tucks her legs modestly beneath the black skirt in the summer heat. She manages a smile, but the dark-ringed eyes of this 11-year-old are more telling.
What do you do when you're really sad?
I just lie in bed.
The sadness is just, it's like a cloud coming out, it's like a mist coming out of them.
Seth Mandel is founder of the camp.
This does not just pass into the night, it comes out in 100 different ways for the rest of your life if you don't get it out by talking.
Here, children traumatized by a death can work through the experience with other children who have suffered a similar loss. Raut Cohen holds a powwow with her peers and counselor about what they accomplished on day one. The camp's opening is a catharsis for the founding family. The Mandels' 13-year-old son, Kobe, was stoned to death near his Jewish settlement in the West Bank last year. Seth and Sherry Mandel say they have harnessed a power hidden in the experience of their tragedy to create Camp Kobe for children struggling as they are to move on.
Our camp is to help them heal. But more than that, it's really to help us heal. It's so that I can get up in the morning and be a father to my children, to show them how to move forward.
Camp Kobe lavishes activities on the children. With hundreds of thousands of dollars in support from the American Jewish community, 225 children will swim, hike, sail, or horseback ride their way through camp. Lonely children can call home. Stumped camp officials can consult the on-call psychologist, Tali Levinon. The partner at the Israeli Center for Psychotrauma says while the camp can entertain, distract, even help express emotions, it cannot provide the one thing all of Israel now lacks, a permanent sense of security.
And at the moment, there is no such thing. So the greatest difficulty is that kids who encounter loss don't have the basic the space even to build their lives back again because there is an ongoing reality. And they enjoy the chance that they are being given to join the camp, but basically I think they carry a big load.
The program offered here is in the vanguard of efforts to help Israeli children cope with this turbulent time. Every conceivable therapy is used to help the traumatized find a way to say with drawings, dance, or music what they cannot say out loud. Even the dinner hour turns into an impromptu drumming session where 13-year-old Raut Cohen is clearly the star. Hands and elbows flying, she may have found a way to express herself through rhythm in ways she cannot with words. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Jerusalem.